Thank you for being here. We're in a series right now called What's Up With That? What's up with that kind of stuff? Some tough questions that we want to discuss that people have. And they're questions that I have. People didn't come up and ask me these questions. These are just things I thought about, questions that I have and, that I've heard people say over the years. Last week was the first of these five messages. And I think it's going to be six messages in this little series. The first question was, why the blood? Why all the blood in the Bible? Why the animals being sacrificed? What is it with God and blood? It just doesn't make sense. I've had people say that to me before. You don't believe in that blood and religion and blood religion stuff in the Bible, do you, preacher man? Of course I do. Why? That stuff's gross, man. It can't be of God. Listen, why the cross? Why the blood? We talked about it. And we have that on video, and also we can give it to you on a DVD if you'd like that sermon. I think it's a sermon that's important that you can look at yourself and also share with somebody. Why the cross? Why the blood? Let's go over those 4 points real quick. Number one, because physical life is in the blood. See, God told us about blood in the Bible because blood's important, okay? If you don't think blood's important, I hate to tell you this, get rid of your blood, but you ain't going to be around for long. Blood's pretty important, okay? The Bible says life is in the what? Blood. So there's blood in the Bible because physical life is in the blood. The second reason blood is in the Bible is because God made it clear to us, though blood is important, physical blood can never give eternal life. Blood's awesome. Can't live without it. You can't even just inject a little air into your veins and mix it with the blood without that causing serious problems and most likely killing you. And you certainly can't put any other juice inside your veins. It's going to work. Okay? Though blood's important and it's awesome, it keeps you alive physically, it can't give you eternal life. So anything you think you can do with this blood in you ain't going to get you to heaven. It ain't going to cut it. You're going to have something else to get you to heaven because that physical blood's going to run out. It ain't going to last. We gave a long reasons on these, but these are just a review. Number three, the blood of animals can never give eternal life. We see the sacrificing of animals in the Old Testament. What was that all about? We saw that. And it says in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, we talked about it, that the blood of animals were never intended to give you eternal life. It was a figure, Hebrews says, or a picture of things to come. And that leads us to number four, and that was the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ gives spiritual and eternal life. They used to take, the priest would take the animals into the Holy of Holies once a year, a lamb without spot and blemish, and he would offer that to God for his sins and for the sins of the people. And he had to do that repeatedly, year after year after year after year. They would make other sacrifices in the outer part of the temple all year long. It was all a picture of one day Jesus Christ would come and he would offer his blood on the cross as a final sacrifice, and he did it once for all so you and I could have eternal life. I love this picture right here. This picture's in my office. I love it. Picture of an artist's rendition of Jesus. And I like that. I wore the jeans on purpose today. See the guy with the jeans on. Just looks like a construction worker, doesn't he? Just looks like an average Joe, doesn't he? See, Jesus loves average Joes and Lisas. And that's who he loves. He loves you. And look at the hammer. See the hammer in the guy's hand? See the nails over there? See, Jesus loves us, even though it was our sins that led him to the cross. What a wonderful Savior we have. Amen? Now, you know, we talked last week on why the blood. And you know, why would God do that for me? Why would God so love the world he would give Jesus for me? That's our message today. I need you to really help me. Now, don't you set up, would you? Here we go. Come on. You'll be fine. Come on, set on up and look up, and here we go. We're into the message right now today. Why me? Can you say that with me? Why me? Go ahead, Raj, we're rolling. Why would God, you might, Kevin, I'm going to be loud today. I feel much better. Why would God want to have anything to do with me? That's a question people have. Oh, God loves you. God, Jesus died for you. And people go, why would God want to have anything to do with me? Why would God care for me? Why me? Or you talk to people about, you know, you're a Christian. You need to be used of God. And God has a plan for your life. And he wants to. Why would he want to use me? I ain't worth nothing. They've been told they were worth nothing their whole life. And now all of a sudden, God loves me. And God wants something out of my life. What's up with that? It's That's what we're going to talk about today. Why would God want to have anything to do with a sorry, no good Gary Clark from Rockingham, nowhere, North Carolina? Why would a God in heaven care about a little spot on a map where there's nothing but old run-down mills and shut-down mills and people are hungry and starving, a little old mill town, Rockingham? Why would he care about me? Isn't that a good question? Why would God want to have anything to do with the likes of me? And I want to bring you in and the likes of you. That's what we're going to talk about today. Why? Because God loves me. Can you say that with me? Come on now. Because God loves me. Say the whole thing with me. Say it with me. Why would God want to have anything to do with me? Say it now. Because God loves me. Say it one more time. Because God loves me. That make you feel good? Say. That's number one. Why would God want to have anything to do with me? Because God loves me. Here we go, buddy. We're rolling. In this was manifested the love of God, 1 John 4, 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and He sent His Son to be the propitiation, big old fancy word that means the sacrifice, the one who died on the cross for my sins. This is a great verse. Say it with me. We love Him because He first loved us. Why would God want to have anything to do with me? Because God loves me. Isn't that great? Listen, because God loves me. God is love. That's who God is. Then I want you to get this. God has an unselfish concern for my welfare. God has an unselfish concern for my welfare. What does that mean? That's what love is. Well, I love her if she loves me back. It's not love. It's not love at all. You're expressing some kind of feeling towards somebody so you can get something back. That ain't love. Boy, I'm loud today. Kevin, somebody got to help me up there. I'm a little loud, buddy. They're going to break something here in this building. Listen, that is love right there. God has an unselfish concern for me. He gets nothing out of it. What can God get out of me? He loves me. He cares for me. He has an unselfish concern for Gary Mitchell Clark. Boy, that makes me feel good. Oh, God loves you today. I want you to hear it. You might say, how do you know, preacher man, God loves me? You got this fancy little talk you're giving today about God loves me. Here we go. Here's how I know God loves me. I'll keep it personal. Here we go. God loves me because He made me. Look at this verse. And God said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, got together. Listen. Said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. You know how I know God loves me? Because He made me. Boy, does that feel good. Listen, the devil wants you to believe, and I don't care what you've learned, where you've went to school, I don't give a hoot. Listen to me. God created you. He created you. And somehow, if you want to believe the devil's lie, and it is of the devil, for you to believe that you came from some primordial soup and slop somewhere one day, or an ancestor of a monkey, for crying out loud. See, God, Satan does that so that you can't say, God loves me. That's why Satan does that to you. You're nothing. You came from nowhere. You're useless. That's what Satan says. You know what God says? Uh-uh. He opens the book up right at the beginning so you won't get confused. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And early on, He tells you, oh, listen, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, we got together and we didn't just make you like anything else. We made you like us in our image and in our likeness. See, why would God want to have anything to do with me? Because He loves me. He has an unselfish concern for my welfare. He loves me. How do I know He loves me? Because He made me. Can you say that? He made me. And that's how you know God loves you. That's just one. We're just getting going. Here we go. He cares for me. I know God loves me because He cares for me. Ephesians 2, 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Also in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him. If you know it, say it with me. For He what? Careth for you. See, I know God loves me because He cares for me. He cares for me. And if you're out there today and you think, well, man, I don't think God loves... Listen, God loves you and He cares for you. He cared so much that He gave His own Son to shed His blood so that you could have eternal life. But He cares for you in so many wonderful ways. Number three, how do I know God loves me? He cries for me. And you might disagree with me on this, but I believe it in my soul. John 11, 35, say it with me. Here we go. Jesus wept. When Lazarus died, Jesus wept. He loved that man and He loved Mary and Martha, and it broke His heart and He cried. He tells us in Matthew chapter 5 verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. It's a blessing to weep. God weeps for you. He cries for you. I believe that with all my heart. If you're away from Him today, if you put your faith and trust in Him and yet you've wandered off, you're away from Him, you've been hurt, I don't know what you've done, you've made dumb decisions, who knows? But He is weeping for you. How do I know that? Because of this story that I see in Luke, chapter number 15, story of the prodigal son. The son goes to his daddy. He said, Daddy, give me what's coming to me. Give me my inheritance. Daddy said, fine, here it is. He goes out, he wastes it with riotous living, even spends his money on prostitutes. And then he has nothing, and he has to get a job. He starts working for a man who has pigs. Starts taking care of a man's pigs. He says he's eating a pig slop to survive. And he finally, the Bible says, he came to his senses. And he said, good night, my daddy's servants are eating better than I'm eating. I'm going to go home and just go back to my father, and I just ask him, I can just be a servant. I'd be better off than eating this pig slop. So we pick up the story. So he arose and he came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Can you imagine? And he had compassion on him. I think his daddy had tears. Amen? And this story is all about God and us. And he ran and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. And the son said, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be your son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, put shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf, kill it, let us eat, let us drink and be merry. Watch this. Can you see the pain, the tears? For this my son was what? Dead. And is alive again. He was what? Lost. And he's found. And they began to be merry, happy. The opposite of sad and brokenhearted. God cares for you, my friend. He cries for you. Have you ever thought of that? Say, have you ever thought that what you're going through breaks God's heart? Or He sees your situation and weeps for you? I believe that. I believe it with all my heart. God loves me. How do I know that? We've seen it so far that He made me. He cares for me. He cries for me. He died for me. But God, who's rich in mercy for His great love, wherein He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. How do I know that God loves me today? Why me? Why would you have anything to do with me? Because I love you, boy. That's why. How do I know you love me? Because I made you. Because I care for you. Because I cry and weep for you. Listen, because I gave Jesus to die for you. See that right there? I love that picture. Jesus loves you. He died for you today. Satan would want you to believe otherwise, that God doesn't care for you, or He'd fix everything for you in your life. Listen, He forgives me. That's how I know God loves me. He forgives me. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God, He commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. He forgives me. That's how I know God loves me. Can you imagine that? Why would a God in heaven forgive me? forgive me. Does it really, does it change who he is? Say, he does that because he loves me. He loves me. You're here today, perhaps, and you're saying, Pastor, you don't understand. I've done this and I've done that, and there's just no way. My family hasn't forgiven me, and no one else has forgiven me. Surely God wouldn't forgive me. Listen to me. God will forgive you today. Did you hear me? Say that with me. He forgives me. Say it with me. He forgives me. That's the kind of God you have. I don't care what some preacher says. He's wrong. God loves you. And if you will come to him with an honest heart, he will forgive you because he loves you. I just think it's fantastic. Listen, look at this one. He lives in me. How do I know God loves me? Because he lives in me. We've been giving you this verse lately. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Watch. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And that's also faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He lives in me. Isn't that fantastic? Do we have another verse, or is that it on that one? Okay. So how do I know that God loves me? Let's review real quick. See if you can remember them. He made me. He cares for me. He cries for me. Jesus died for me. He forgives me. He lives in me. Why would God want to have anything to do with me? Because he loves me. Look at this last one. He walks and talks with me. I mean, really? Maybe I'm talking to somebody, you don't understand what I'm trying to tell you. I'm forgiven. I have God the Holy Spirit who abides in me. I have a God who walks with me and talks with me. I mean, when I get down, he gets me up. When I get too up, sometimes he knocks me down. Did you hear me? I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He walks and he talks with me. Jesus said to his disciples, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He walks and he talks with me. So, the question this morning, why me? Why would God have anything to do with me? Because he what? He loves me. Sing it with me. Here we go. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. Big ones too. They are weak, but he is strong. Say it to yourself. Come on. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Why would God have anything to do with me? Because he loves me. Let's keep walking. Here we go. Watch. We got something else? Keeps moving. Why me? Why would God want to have anything to do with me? Because God loves me. But I'm not done. Why me? Why would God want to have anything else to do with me? The reason? Say it with me. Because God has a for my life. See, God wants something to do with you because he loves you. God wants something to do with you because he has a reason for your life. You're not a nut somebody may have told you you were, okay? You're not as useless as somebody may have shoved down your throat. Listen, you matter to God. You are on this planet today because God has a reason for your life. You might say, well, how do you know that? I'm glad you asked. Here we go. Look at this. This is a long scripture, but I want you to listen. If you have your Bible, turn to it, but you can follow along. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Say this with me, would you? That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Why me? Why would God want to have anything to do with me? Because he loves me. He has an unselfish concern for my welfare. Why would God want to have anything to do with me? Because God has a reason for my life. Look at this. This is another statement I want you to get. God seeks the highest good for my life. That's the God you have. If you're feeling useless, if you're feeling like you're just, I have people talk to me all the time, struggling. Listen, God, listen, friend, he seeks the highest good for your life. You ever been used by anybody? Raise your hand. You were just flat used, huh? Yeah, just got used and abused. He'll never do that to you. You ever had dealings with somebody and they had an ulterior motive? Say, you ever dealt with people and you had an ulterior motive? God doesn't have any. See, you know what God does? He seeks the highest good for my life. He has a reason for me. And I've written down some things. I want you to see them real quick. How do I know that? How do I know God has a reason for my life? Here we go. We're going to go through them quick. He fills me. F-I-L-L-S, me. Listen, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. The man you see before you today grew up in Rockingham, North Carolina, in a hellhole of a house with a drunk mama. Could not stand people. I love sports, those kinds of things. I didn't give a hoot about nobody. I cared about me. But the man you see before you today is a man who has the Holy Spirit living in him and that loves people, even though I still flub up, make mistakes, and ain't near as nice as I should be sometimes. But the fact of the matter is, I can tell you, there's something in me that loves people. And God put it there because he fills me. See, God has a reason for my life and your life, and he doesn't just leave us empty. When we come to Christ, we are filled, amen, with the Spirit of the living God, and he has a purpose for our life. Look at this. He thrills me. I'm a thrilled man today. You know what? Nobody had to push me out of bed this morning to come to church. Are you kidding me? Isn't that true? Joy is sleeping. She over there sleeping early. I get up early on Sunday. She's sleeping. I come out in the jeans. I go, hey, how do these look? She's like, get out of my life. You know, I do not want to see your face. Okay? You know? Listen, God, the Holy Spirit lives in me as a reason for my existence. He fills me with his Spirit. He thrills me. Look at this. He says, speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns. I do sometimes. Amen. You can see me. Amen. Praise God, speaking to myself in psalms and hymns. Spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart. He thrills me. Give thanks, huh? I used to not give thanks. Could give a hoot. I love food. And buddy, you put it in front of me, and Clark's going to pray over it. You know why? It's just something in me. I like to give thanks. You know, we get blessings. I told you I was going to share a blessing with you a couple of weeks ago. For our building fund, I go to the mailbox, our little 121 mailbox we got at the post office. Just a regular old envelope. Reach in there, grab it, boom, $6,000 from somebody up north. I don't, you know, that people we don't even know that well. They just said, we just want to be a blessing to you guys down there and help you get that building fund along the way a little bit. Amen. That's exciting. That's thrilling. He thrills me. He has a reason for my life. These verses go on to talk about, let's move it a little bit, Roger, next screen. It talks about wives. It talks about submitting one to another in the fear of the Lord. Did you know what? That's thrilling in a relationship when you don't have to always be the big dog. But you can submit to one another and you can start to see your relationship. That's thrilling. See, that's because God has a reason for your life. He cares for you. Talks about wives submitting to their husbands. Talks about husbands in this passage. Move it to the next screen. Talks about how that he's to give his life for his wife like Christ did the church. And then the last verse, verse 27, look at this one, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy without blemish. What I'm saying is God has a reason for my life. He fills me, he thrills me, and then look at this verse, this next one. He seals me. The Holy Spirit seals me. Go ahead, the scripture. In whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. One other verse. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. What does that mean? God has a reason for my life. He fills me. He thrills me. He seals me. You know what that means? He puts his stamp on my life. Isn't that great? Isn't it great to know that you've got the image of God? You're made in the image of God, and you have that image of God stamped on you. When you love him, when you're filled with him, when you're thrilled by him, it'll show on your face. It'll show up in your life. Amen? And it's not something that's going to leave you. You are sealed. He has given you a guarantee that you belong to him, and he is with you until the day you see him face to face. You're sealed until the day of redemption. Look at this one. He gifts me. God has a reason for my life. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. He gives us various gifts, but we've got to use them correctly. Look at this. Though I speak with the tongues of men, of angels, have not love. I'm become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy, different gifts, mysteries, knowledge. Though I have all faith that I can remove mountains, I don't have love, I'm nothing. Verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and I don't have love, it profits me nothing. See, God has a reason for my life, and it's not about me caring for me. It's about me letting him work through me to reach other people. What I'm trying to make a point, and I don't know if I'm losing you with me or not, but the fact is God has a reason for my life. He fills me. He excites me and thrills me. He's changing my life. He seals me to let me know I belong to him and he belongs to me. He gifts me. He gives me certain gifts that I can accomplish what he wants to in my life on this earth because he cares for me. He has a reason for me. Look at this one. He lifts me. Not only does he gift me, he lifts me. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he'll lift you up. How many have been down so down you can't even hardly say it? Let me see your hand. Come on. Come on. Tell the Lord right now today, I've been down. I've been hurting. And how many can raise those hands again and say, he lifted me up. He lifted me up. Why did he do that? Because he's got a reason for you. He don't always want you down. Listen, sometimes down's where you're going to get. Sometimes down's where you need to be so that you can humble yourself and lay out flat on the floor. And then to feel those loving arms, oh, I just lift you. And you go, oh, man, I have a reason for living. God loves me and he has a purpose for my life. So he lifts me. Look at this one. Ephesians 2, he hath raised us up together. He's made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. He gifts me, he lifts me, and this is one we don't like. He sifts me because he has a reason for my life. You know what James says? He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or various tests. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience, listen, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire. That's complete, mature, wanting nothing or lacking nothing. Listen, he sifts me. Why do I? Well, I got to go through this. That's the way it is, man. You know, like a ball team. I love sports. You know what ball teams do? Football right now. Football's on. It's played everywhere. Those teams practice. They work their tail off. They get out there and they work and work and work. And then they watch films. They watch films of the other team and they strategize and then they practice these certain drills because this certain team they're going to play is going to do this certain play and they're all ready for it when it happens. That's like our life, friend. See, God has a reason for our life. And He does sift us, and He does allow us to go through certain things. And there are certain tests so that we can become mature and patient so that God can work with us. Can you say amen on that? You've experienced it. Say amen.
Amen.
There we go. Why?
I thought He was just picking on me. He loves you.
Listen, everybody thinks the coach hates them too. You know what I'm saying? I had a coach named George Whitfield. He would run us to death. I was the last one on the team. Slow, I was big. And there he was, that Chevy Caprice station wagon, right on my tail as we would run. Head out the window, honking, "Move, Clark! Ring, ring, ring." But you know what? Got me in shape, amen? Had some pretty doggone good ball teams. Listen, God loves you, and He is going to sift you. Let's look at the last thing. Let's review, and we're done this morning. Why me? Why would God have anything to do with me? Number one, because God, what? Loves me. He has an unselfish concern for my welfare. Totally unselfish. He cares for me. Period. Isn't that great? How do I know that? Because He made me. He cares for me. He cries for me. He died for me. He forgives me. He lives in me. He walks and He talks with me. Why would God have anything to do with my life? Because God, say it with me, has a reason or purpose for my life. Say it one more time. God has a reason for my life. God seeks the highest good in my life. He wants to maximize my purpose for being here on this planet. How do I know that? Because He gives me the Holy Spirit. He fills me. He thrills me. He seals me. Listen, He gifts me. He lifts me. He sifts me. All because He has a reason in my life. Now, the last things I want to ask you right here today is, why would God choose me? Preacher, why would God do that? Why would He love me? And why would He have a reason for me? Why would God choose me? Here it is. Having predestined us unto the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Here it is. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Why did God choose you? For His glory and because of His grace. God chose you. You're never going to figure it out. You're never going to figure it out that God chose you because He loves you, because of His grace, and that brings glory to Himself because He chose you. Can you imagine it? I go home sometimes to Rockingham. I get letters from people and phone calls from people I knew way back in Rockingham in my high school days, boys that I beat up and we fought with and things like that and you know, stuff like that. You know, I had one call me, Mark O'Neill. And I'd been home. They did a little article in a paper or something. This was a few years back. But Mark called me from Rockingham, and he just said, here's a grown man. He says, I'm proud of you. Here's a guy we used to fight. He's a grown man. He says, I'm a Christian now. I've trusted Christ myself. And he said, I just want you to know, I'm just so thankful what God has done in your life. Is that weird or why? I mean, listen, why would God choose me? And I'm talking about me, but I'm really talking about you. Listen, because He's a gracious God. Because He wants to bring glory to Himself by doing something with your life. Look at this one. Why would God choose me? Why would God use me, preacher? For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God's chosen the foolish things of the world. See, I qualify to confound the wise. God's chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. Look, God chose the base things of the world and things that are despised. God has chosen you and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His what? Presence. Why did God choose you? Why does God use you? Listen, God didn't want to use somebody that's God. He didn't want to use angels. Why does God not use angels to do this? God wants to use fallen, sinful men, bring them to Jesus, people who are useless that can do nothing on their own except go to hell. That's all you're good at. He wants to take you, save you, fill you, thrill you, seal you, gift you, lift you, sift you, and people are going to go, wow, I knew him when he was a jerk. And look at him now. Praise the Lord. Do you get it? Say. Why didn't God just use angels to share the gospel? Because he wants to use you because you got real skin and can relate to somebody else in the mess they've come in. And you can say, I know God, and he changed my life, and he can change your life too. That's why God uses you. I think it's a great plan, actually. This is fantastic. And everybody qualifies, amen? Everybody qualifies. You don't understand my life, I'm useless. Well, that's what that verse said, amen? I'm pitiful, that's what that verse said. I ain't got much, that's what that verse said. You're qualified to be used by God. Tuffy here, I've always thought this, the man or woman whom God uses, he bruises. Why does God bruise me, preacher? I love him, and he saved me. And look at what I'm going through, and look how I hurt. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I use that verse specifically because that was my mother's life verse. My mother was abused. She was 11 years ago murdered in cold blood by my stepdad. That hurt me. I hurt to this very day. Why would God let that happen to my mama? And why would God let that happen to me? I'm finding out. Certainly God didn't do that. A violent, wicked man took my mother's life. But could God have stopped everything? Yes or no? Sure. God's a God of everything. Yeah. Didn't, did he? Huh. God allowed that to come into my life. And you know what? It changed my life. Made me a better husband, better man, better person. A fellow talked to me today. He walked up to me. He's hurting. His brother passed away a few years ago, and he's hurting today desperately. And I could look in his eyes, and he could look in my eyes, and we could relate. We were on the same page immediately because we were both hurting men. Why does God bruise you? He bruises you so he can really use you to the fullest potential. And it happens. You can go in a kid's bedroom, and you can find his favorite stuffed animal. What's it going to look like? Somebody tell me. Is it going to be a little dirty? Yeah, is it going to have the ears rubbed off a little bit more, huh? You can pick out their favorite blanket, a kid's favorite blanket. It's a blanket that's been washed more times than the other one. It's got them little fuzzy things that are hanging on top of the blanket. You know how to do there? Whatever you call them things, you know? Because it's been washed and used. You are going to get bruised if you serve God. If you come to serve the Lord and be used of God and experience the reason he has for your life, you need to lay it down, man. He's the potter. You're the clay. Sometimes the clay gets squeezed a little. God does bruise us, but he loves us. Last one, will God ever lose me? Will God ever lose me, preacher? I think some of you today, you might be feeling that way. God, I'm lost, man. I mean, I was with him, and now I'm just lost. I'm out there. Will God ever lose me? I mean, he has this reason. You say he loves me, and if I come to him, and he'll fill me and thrill me, will he ever lose me? I'm feeling lost. Listen, the thief, that's Satan. He comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Satan hates your guts. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you'll have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. Amen? He said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Next. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Look at, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I love this verse. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I'm here to tell you today, and I'm done with the message. Here we go. Thank you for listening. And I went about 5 minutes longer, but you were out of church last week. You deserve it. Here we go. Okay? Here we go. Why me? Why does God want to have anything to do with me? Because God loves me. Amen? Say that with me. Because God loves me. Oh, leave here today knowing that. Why would God want to have anything to do with me? Because God, help me now, has a reason for my life. He chose me. He wants to use me. There's probably going to be some training and some testing, a little bruising along the way. But hallelujah, praise the Lord, He ain't never going to lose me. Amen? That's the message today. Why me? Why does God care for me? Because He loves me and He has a reason for my life. After I got done with this message, I'd written it all down scribbly on paper. And I told Alex, I said, Alex, I looked at my notes, scribbly mess. And I said, I believe I wrote a poem. Here it is. Why would God love me, care about me, cry for me, and even die for me? Why would God forgive me and live in me? Why would He want to talk to me and walk with me? Why would God choose me and use me and bruise me? And will He ever lose me? Why would God fill me and thrill me and seal me? Why would He gift me and lift me and sift me? Because He loves me. Because He has a reason for my life. That's why. Father, we love You today. We thank You for this morning, this message. Thank You, Father, that You allowed me to study Your Word and Your Holy Spirit ministered to my heart. And Lord, I just needed to hear that You love me. And Lord, I needed to hear again that You have a reason for my life. Father, thank You for so many things in the Scripture, and we just barely touched on them, of how You show Your love and Your purpose for us. Bless the message to our hearts today, Father, we pray. I pray for someone here today, Lord, who's not a Christian. They didn't really realize that You loved them so much. And God, I pray today that they would say yes to You. They would say, yes, I believe in Christ. I just didn't realize I had a God like that that loved me like that. I pray they would say yes to You. Father, I pray for someone today who's away from You. They're hurting. They've made mistakes. Maybe they've been offended or they've offended You and they're just wondering now. I pray You'd draw them to Yourself. May they see Your forgiveness and that You love them to pieces and that You have a reason for them and that reason isn't over yet. Draw them to Yourself, we pray. In Jesus' name.